You're listening to the Boss Yourself First podcast, Season 2, Episode 11. You want to be an effective leader. The first person you want to lead effectively is yourself. Self-leadership helps you create better relationships and a more fulfilling life, and in turn, lead others in a more authentic and impactful way. If this piques your interest, then stick around. I'm Robin White, your host, and this is Boss Yourself First. Hey everyone, welcome to the Boss Yourself First podcast. We are in our second guest interview of the Constraint Hall of Fame, and I think you're going to really enjoy this interview. I want you to meet Jennifer Temke. She is a super together lady, a really sharp businesswoman. And she's just, you can hear it in her voice in the interview. She's just really even. And it doesn't mean she never gets stressed and she never gets ruffled, but she really sees things clearly. She's super good at taking time to reflect and process what's going on and then moving forward with bold action. I think these are some of the things you're going to pick up as you listen to the interview. I can't wait to share it with you. Let's get going. Our guest today is Jennifer Temke. She is founder and CEO of Connects Workspace and managing member of Cafe 13, both thriving businesses in my hometown, Golden, Colorado. She is a Colorado native, which is a little bit rare these days, with over 25 years of leadership experience ranging from nonprofit, small business, and corporate America. Because service is a high value, and that's not just lip service. I have seen this woman in action. Service is a high value for Jennifer, so she is on the board of Neighborhood Rehab Project, a part of the leadership team of Hillside Community Church, a member of Women Presidents Organization, and president of Golden Women in Business. Welcome, Jen. I am delighted to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Robin.
So you and I have known each other for, gosh, around 5 years, and so we know each other pretty well, but I want to give our audience a chance to get to know you just a little bit better, and I'd like to start it off by asking, what are you reading?
Ooh, good question. I set a goal for 2021 to read 2 books a month, 1 fiction and 1 nonfiction. And I'm a little behind right now. Currently, I am reading Brené Brown's Gifts of Imperfection for like the 3rd time. I wanted to pick it back up just to kind of delve back into her. I think it's her best book. And I'm also reading Friedman's Fables, which is a fun, quirky little book that I'm really enjoying.
Oh, fun. Yes. You recommended Friedman's Fables to me the other day, and I haven't had a chance to have a look at it, but it sounds really fun. And also really cool, you're looking back on Brené Brown's book. I totally agree with you. I think it's one of her best, The Gifts of Imperfection, also our Golden Women in Business book club read this month. So well done. You're ready for the meeting. Good recommendations. Thank you so much. That's one of my favorite questions to ask. Okay, would you tell us a little bit about your journey around why you opened Connects and Cafe 13?
Yeah, certainly. I have been married for almost 29 years, and I have 4 children. I was able to stay home with them for like 10 years and entered into the workforce, ended up in the mortgage industry for a really good career. I had always wanted to start my own business, was thinking of a coffee shop or a wine bar. And then my husband found this whole concept of co-working. So we started researching it. And being Golden natives, we thought that we could really find a place for this in Golden. We researched and we found and located a location. And I jumped out of the mortgage industry in like May 31st, 2015, and started Connects Workspace June 1st, 2015. Like, it was a really big jump.
Wow.
I had to. Yeah.
so fast. I mean, you dreamt about it for a while, but once you got going, that was so fast.
It was really fast. And I had to do a lot of soul care and self, like inner reflection on fear of failure, stepping out. I left our main security, our main financial security, our insurance. We poured our life savings into the renovations. I just really felt like it was the time of my season. And it's paid off. I don't know if you want me to continue going, but yeah, it's been almost 6 years. And we were able to build, we started with 6 members and 3,000 square feet. And we have about 200 members, down a little now from COVID. And I'm trying to think, 15,000 square feet throughout Golden, and looking for growth right now. And then in 2018, the opportunity to purchase our neighboring business, Cafe 13, which is a really well-loved cafe in Golden, the opportunity presented itself, and I pushed and made it happen. And I guess the dream of me owning a coffee shop came full circle. However, it has been a huge, daunting experience with lots of constraint.
Wow. It was not only fast, but that was a big change. Really two big changes. I love how you said you pushed and you made it happen. That is vision. So cool. All right, we're going to unpack that a little bit more later. But for now, because this season we've been talking on the podcast about constraint, which can be self-imposed, it can be imposed by another person, or even dictated by circumstances, such as in the last year. And we'll look at that in a bit. But first, could you give us a little bit more of your story, especially around a particular constraint you faced and how processing that has influenced the way you process constraint since?
Yeah, the most constraint I've felt has been really recent. So that's probably what I'm going to step into. And wouldn't surprise you, but it is because of COVID. You know, buying Cafe 13, we bought June 2018, and then we shut down for renovations for 2 months in 2019. And then the COVID shutdowns hit just shy of a month of our entire year of the reopening. And it went from like excited to break records for the year and what we were bringing to the community to instant shutdown. And not just shutdown, but I had to lay off almost all of my staff. I kept 3 staff members on. I don't think people realize in the food industry, at least for me, and I know a lot of peers, there is no cash flow. You are making money to pay bills. So as soon as you're cut off on making revenue, you no longer can pay bills or staff. And so that was instant. And looking back, it was painful, but you just do what you have to do, and you make decisions on how to care for people in it, care for yourself, and you just step into it. There is no room to go into fetal position and just stop. You, as a leader, you don't get that opportunity.
That's good insight. And as you were talking, I was thinking about some of the things we've discussed here on the podcast this season, the stages of processing constraint. And the first stage is victim stage, that kind of curl in and comfort yourself and go, wow, I cannot believe this is happening. A little disorientation even. Did you actually experience that, or did you go straight into action?
I'm a pretty action-oriented person, which could be detrimental in some cases. And so I really did push into what I could do. It's when I became a part of the Be Golden movement to help feed people with food insecurities using resources from our restaurants that were closed. But personally, I was doing a lot of questioning of like, did I make the right decision on even purchasing Cafe 13? And you mentioned earlier that I pushed to make it happen. Well, sometimes that can be looked at as you pushed too hard, like you made something happen that wasn't supposed to happen, like in the greater universe. And so I had those kind of questions. And I have investors in that business, and I was really fearful that I wasn't going to be able to hold my promises to them. And so it was just a lot of internal insecurities that I just focused outward into action. So it was more internal. My husband heard a lot of it.
So there was a little bit of that feeling internally, but on the outside, it was, let's get into action. Let's get going. Let's shift.
Yes.
I'm so glad you said that. And because a lot of times things look okay from the outside, but that internal battle, that wages on. And it's just not always evident from those looking in from the outside. So thank you for sharing that and letting us kind of be inside your head during that part of your journey. And that segues us pretty nicely into talking specifically about the pandemic. What do you feel were the biggest constraints that you faced when everything started?
Oh, man. Anywhere from both of my businesses being cut to the core financially, my vision was all of a sudden, I didn't know what to do. I was playing a lot of optimism and thought, oh, well, we'll be closed for a week or 2 weeks or a month. And then it just kept going. And then I also, we were living up with my in-laws, and my father-in-law was sick and he had passed away in January. COVID hit in March. My mother-in-law had a lot of health issues that were not expected, and she ended up with COVID. So then my husband and I ended up being locked down with that while my businesses are kind of flooding. So we had a lot of constraint physically, financially, and just when you're cut to the reality of what really matters. And my husband and I were healthy, our kids were healthy. We were expecting a new grandbaby. And so you just start focusing on the things that really are good and that you can, I don't know, make you happy and make you think about your why to everything else.
Yes. Your why becomes so important and so clear when situations like that come up. So what actions did you take? You said that you laid off staff, but what else? Mm-hmm.
So for Cafe 13, I had to lay off my staff. We provided food. They could come and shop in the kitchen of the cafe. We would provide meals for them to come in. We kept them all in our like employee system so they could communicate via chat. They'd come to see us when they could. Just really tried to care about them as people. And then for Connects, we were able to just move remotely. Because when you think of co-working, you think of a space and a location, an office, a conference room, those kind of things. But really, the reason I started Connects was for the purpose of community. Because when people are working remotely, when they get to start their own business, or they have this dream and vision to launch something, they really do still need community. It's what the benefits of working for a big company are. It's what like Google gets touted for, is how well they take care of their employees and do fun things for them. So what co-working is to try to create that sense of community. So we moved remotely and we really tried to support our members remotely. I kept all my staff on for Connects and we just put all of our energy towards that kind of support. We would have Zoom happy hours. We did a lot of different trainings on the PPP, on how to use Zoom, on how to use different remote resources, and just tried to give as much support as we could remotely.
It sounds like you made some powerful adjustments especially for the Connects workspace. And so now, a year or so later, how's it looking? How are things going with both your co-working space and your cafe?
They're both going amazing. I ended up breaking records for Cafe 13. We had our highest revenue days. Once the weather got nice, we had patio weather or patios with the nice weather. And so we were able to really serve our customers well and safe. So that was fun. And Cafe's doing amazing. I have a general manager who is just taking care of the business so well. Connect's Workspace, interesting. We had an influx of members August, September, and they are super engaged. They were like almost like desperate for community and people. And so they were just like, please, please, let's have happy hours. So we would do happy hours on the patio and that kind of stuff. And so we're recovering. We still, Connect's Workspace still has a ways to go with people not meeting, and we have conference rooms and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the constraint of having to just kind of slow down and stop, because I am such an action-oriented person, really renewed my vision. And I was able to see like where I want to take these businesses and what my long-term play is. I had been for quite a long time bouncing between a lifestyle business and keeping it small, or really kind of scaling into the next level. And I think having to shut down made me decide I'm not ready to slow down yet. So gonna scale it.
Interesting. Yes. And I hear you on the co-working space, because I've heard it, I feel it in myself, but I've also heard it from my clients, how much we appreciate how things are starting to open up. We're starting to get to be able to gather a little bit more, and we have missed it. We value it more now. So I can see, especially in that co-working space, how it could have this sort of boomerang effect on the business. And it sounds like the cafe is rebounding as well.
Yeah, I agree. Both of the businesses are hospitality industries. It's caring for people, whether it's caring for them via food and drink, caring for them via support and resources, officing, community. And people need that. They need to be cared for. There is a lot of sadness and loneliness and depression. We're not meant to be locked away by ourselves.
Yeah. Good insight there. It sounds like you had a bit of a boomerang personally as well, that dealing with all of this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like having the opportunity to expand being paused because of the pandemic actually helped you evaluate and renew your commitment to those original ideas and vision. In fact, they may now be stronger than ever before.
Yes, I think boomerang is a really good description of that. I just was able to hold tight, really think about my why between both of the businesses. I saw the synergies between a cafe and a co-working space, and a vision kind of was birthed of it. And so that's where we're moving into 2021 into 2022.
Yes, can you talk a little bit about that? Or are you still holding that close to the vest?
No, it needs to get out there, as scary as it is. But yeah, I'm currently working to purchase a 12,000 square foot space. It's a condo space inside a new build up off of I-70 and Colfax. It's a new area that's kind of growing, and it's going to be a four-story where three stories is co-living, and the first story will be retail. And I'm going to do a food hall meets co-working space, so it'll be 50% of each under one umbrella of Connect's Workspace. And super excited.
Yeah, and I love that ties into the original vision and that kind of theme of feeding community, literally and figuratively. And it's wonderful how the fusion of those two things are not only coming together, but expanding. So congrats on that. That is super exciting. Super pleased for you and for our community. It's going to be a great addition. Okay. It all sounds amazing, and the future is looking really bright. I want to circle back one more time to dealing with the constraints that you faced in your businesses, because I'm not sure we really touched on anything that just didn't work. We've heard a lot about your actions, but was there anything you tried that just didn't work out? You had to immediately pivot again.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of them. We just kind of kept trying whenever you don't have the privilege of having this planned out. Like, what will we do in a pandemic and how will we make this? So we just kept trying and pivoting. For Connect's workspace, it became very apparent that Zoom fatigue is very real. And so to get our members on for a happy hour when they were sitting for 8 hours working via Zoom became difficult. So we tabled that after the summer. We went to in-person in the summer and then we didn't bring Zoom back. We would just tried, I think, communication. We wanted to provide resources to our members, but they have other resources within their business as well. So we would just want to be available to them. But I wished, looking back, that we found more opportunities for that. But yeah, we just kept moving forward and trying. For the cafe, it's just exhausting when I look about it. The cafe was different because with restaurants, the levels and the regulations kept changing every day. And so keeping our staff from being exhausted, and we just were nimble and we just kept going and we're like, we're going to be here for our customers. And our customers were really great and they were really good to us. So
Every time you talk about both of your businesses, you keep coming back to these words of serving and caring and creating community. Your values and your why are really clear in your thoughts and in your actions, in everything that you tried, even in the things that didn't work so well. You just shifted, as you said, nimbly, and tried something else that would support those values.
Yeah, that's correct. And as a leader, you have people looking at you. They're counting on me to make decisions, to be able to see beyond all the bad that's happening and keep people optimistic and looking forward. And so that was what kept me going. If it was just me, I would have been like, I'll see you on the other side.
Yes. Curl up with your chocolate and your good books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite story from the last year? And it can be your story. It can be a client's story. Just something that stands out to you.
I think my favorite story would be for Cafe 13, I hired on a general manager in February just before COVID hit. And she's a salary position. And by all rights, I should have just let her go. And I kept her on. And it was the thing that really helped me to relinquish some of my control of my businesses to someone that is going to care for my business as much as I do. And I had to do it because there was no way that I could keep both of these businesses going and hold them at the same level. And so I gave her a lot of authority, a lot of place that is not easy for me in my personality. Because I have this vision, it's hard for me to like trust that somebody else can see this. And that trust has taught me so much and just opened up opportunities for me to know that any growth is going to take me trusting other people and kind of passing that baton. So it's what I look back at as probably one of my strongest, biggest growth moments of COVID, because I've been hurt in the past with some relationships when I pass on and in trust. And so that was just a time and a story then. And it's not saying that I have to keep control. I get that opportunity to pass that and trust other people. So it's been really good and a part of the growth of the future, because I know I can't, you know, the whole part of me wanting to grow and scale has to come with me passing that to other people and trusting them.
Oh, gosh, there's so much to unpack there.
I know. Sorry.
No, I love it. There's a lot of value there. You're right that it's a lot to carry by yourself. And you are also absolutely right that if you're going to grow and scale, you're going to have to be able to hand over the baton to the right people who can support that vision. So how did you talk yourself into reaching out and handing over some of that control?
I really feel like COVID created the perfect opportunity because I had to. But then I went into more of a supportive, like, how do I help you? How do I support you? And I honestly had a person who was very qualified. I think there's something in entrepreneurship when you get to the point you don't want to be the smartest person in the room. I hired somebody that knew restaurants more than me, and I trusted that. And so it was just through a lot of the conversation and the pain of COVID together and the working through what do we do here, and then she would just take things and rock it and do well and do even better than I could have done. And so it was just, I don't know, like almost maybe like a dating relationship where you're just like, you just step into it slowly and you give each other just a little bit. And now she runs this cafe and we've done so well by our guests and by the community. And she's not done. She's ready to take more. So it's good.
Yeah, great analogy there. Comparing that to building trust in a dating relationship, you give incremental trust over time and it builds. Perfect. Okay, wrapping things up here just a little bit. I think I know that just from being around you and knowing you over the years, you are a natural systems thinker, meaning you're very organized in the way that you approach things, and you see patterns and combinations of actions that can be combined to get you the results that you want. Now, over the last year of dealing with obstacle after obstacle, did you develop any specific systems or methods for processing those constraints that you want to carry with you moving forward as you grow and scale your business? Basically, I'm asking you what you've learned. To put it much simpler.
I think the biggest one is setting up systems that create a lot of clarity to your staff, whether it's user manuals, processes and procedures, a communication channel. We use a lot. We use Notion, we use Slack, we use Asana, we use a lot of tools. The main reason for all of them is clarity and communication so that anybody can go in and know how to do their job. That's for Connects. Cafe has different processes and procedures, and we have different ways to communicate that. But that's the one takeaway. And I do go back and forth as a CEO level and being so systems focused. And I just think it's what gives us the freedom to just be and enjoy our jobs because all of the foundation is strong. We have the processes. We know what we're doing. We know where to go if we don't know what we're doing. And then we get to just enjoy so that my customers, my members, they feel the connection and not the stress of, I don't know what I'm doing.
Great learning, and it's something I so admire about you, as I am not a natural systems thinker, and I watch you and I'm amazed, and sometimes I come to you and I say, Jen, I don't know what to do here. What do I need to be doing here? And you always help me out, and I so appreciate that. Okay, last kind of big question. What advice do you have for other business owners as we transition into this almost post-pandemic world?
For other business leaders, be in community. I have so many different communities. I have peer relationships, Golden Women in Business. I'm in Women Presidents Organization with women that have multi-million dollar companies that I aspire to be. I have Connects Workspace where I have startups and entrepreneurs. I have really strong small business owners. I have remote workers that work for big international corporations, and they inspire me. And the conversations that I have with each of them are different, but they have a thread of just inspiring each other and being like, you got this, you can do this, I believe in you. And I've had plenty of insecurities over the last 6 years, and I've had some major life-changing events. And these relationships are the reason that I even think that I can continue to grow and take on the next level. So find a community, find multiple communities, be vulnerable, risk it. It's worth it.
Perfect words to end on. Thank you. That was so good. And it was so good to have you here. And thank you for letting us hear your story and learn from your experience. I just really appreciate you coming on.
This was so fun. Thank you so much. Way less scary than I thought it was going to be.
I'm glad. I try really hard not to be scary. That doesn't attract guests. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I want to recap just a few self-leadership principles that Jen has incorporated into her life. Jen treated the pandemic as a time to pause and reconnect with her core values and her why and her vision. Jen also works to establish trust within her organization. She prioritizes communication, and she surrounds herself with supportive community. These are all amazing principles that even if we just pick one of those and put into practice, we can start leading ourselves with more impact and authenticity. Hey, I hope you have a fantastic week, and I look forward to another great guest interview next week. Until then, take care. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found something to grab hold of and apply in your life. As always, any link or information mentioned in this episode can be found at bossyourselffirst.com in the podcast section. And if we haven't connected yet, and I would love to, DM me on Instagram at bossyourselffirst or come to the Boss Yourself First Facebook page and let me know how you're doing and what you think. I would really love to meet you. Thanks for being here and being you. Now get out there and lead with courage and kindness and boss yourself first and add your amazingness to the world. We sure need it. Talk to you soon, my friends.